Our website at radiomaria.us and on your smartphones through the World Families app. On your home Mother. Telephone at this number.
1-631-359-8743.
And on the radio in Louisiana on 580 AM KJMJ Alexandria, 1360 KNIR New Iberia, and on FM at 89.7 KBIO Natchitoches and 91.1 KOJO Lake Charles. In Texas on 1250 AM KDEI Port Arthur. In Ohio on 88.7 FM WHJM Anna, 1600 AM WULM Springfield with translator W277 AO, 103.3 FM Enon Dayton. In Pennsylvania on 88.1 FM WHHN Holly Daysburg Altoona. In Mississippi, also on 88.1 FM WOLM D'Iberville Biloxi. In Wisconsin on 91.3 FM WRMW Peshtigo. And in Florida on 91.9 FM WMKL Hammocks, Miami.
Radio Maria USA, a Christian voice in your home.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. It's 10:01 Central Time, 11:01 Eastern Time. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach of understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to thank Radio Maria in general for this opportunity. And welcome. You're joining now the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalma, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Mary and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy each and every Thursday. So now we're going to begin with prayer, and our prayer is going to be a supplication. We're going to take the soul to the glorious queen from day 31. Of the Virgin Mary in the kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, it's just a joy to have this opportunity. We're grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually. And we are truly blessed. All of us are truly blessed to be alive at this time. Our Blessed Lady, we've made sort of a mission this year to get to know our Lady more and more. And it's not just because we want to, but it's what our Blessed Lord wants. And, you know, we have to start thinking more now about what does Jesus want, not what we want. That's, I guess, the beginning of transitioning from our human will sort of driving our car as opposed to God's divine will driving it. And he tells us, in volume 36, which is in essence the finale of the Book of Heaven, he tells us in volume 36 on 12/28, 1936, quote, "Now, my daughter, listen to me and pay attention. I want to tell you a great surprise of our love, and nothing must escape you. I want you to know the extent of the maternity of my celestial mother, what she did, how much it cost her, and what she is still doing," end quote. So if Jesus wants that, we want that. And we want that anyway, because we love our mother. And the more we understand our mother, the more we love our mother. And the closer we drive to our mother, to our lady, the closer we get to our blessed Lord. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will coming to us live via live stream from Italy. Hello, mother. Hello, sisters.
Ciao, ciao. Nice to be with all of you again. And, it's a beautiful weather here. It seems like we're starting springtime, but I'm not sure of that. We'll probably get some more cold weather, but it's beautiful, and we thank God for that. You were just talking about Our Lady, but what a wonderful mother we have. And this is the time of Our Lady. Our Lady is going to crush the head of Satan, and hopefully we're getting close to that time when he's completely crushed and put where he belongs, you know. But we have to just really, you know, realize that she's our great intercessor. She's our great mediatrix of all graces. She's co-redemptrix. I mean, we have, God has given us such a grace to have her as our mother also. I was just reading too here in volume 10. It was the the 3rd of February, which is today. It says, in the world, I need mirrors to which to go and look at myself. Only then can a fount serve as mirror in which people can reflect themselves. When the fount is pure, but it is of no use for the fount to be pure if the waters are cloudy. It is useless for that fount to boast about the preciousness of the stones on which it is founded. If the waters are cloudy, nor can the sun make its rays perpendicular so as to render those waters silvery and communicate to them the variety of colors, nor can people reflect themselves in it. My daughter, virgin souls are the similes of the purity of the fount. The crystal clear and pure waters are the upright working. The sun that makes its rays perpendicular to me, it is me. The variety of colors is love. Therefore, if I do not find purity, upright working, and love in a soul, she cannot be my mirror. These are my mirrors in which I make my glory be reflected with all the others, even if they are virgins. Not only can I not reflect myself, but if I wanted to do so, I would not recognize myself in them. And the sign of all this is peace. From this, you will be able to know how very scarce are the mirrors I have in the world. In fact, very few are the peaceful souls. So how to become that great mirror? It's not purity in body that's important to God. It's impurity in soul. How do we get that purity of soul? By being detached from everything and everyone, and God being our all. That's what's the most important thing. Mary Magdalene is in the Virgin Choir of Virgins. She was a prostitute, but she had a virgin heart and soul. God was her all. She was truly, truly, truly in love with him, not attached to anything or anyone. And he says, in order to have that purity of soul, we need to have upright working and love in a soul. In order to be the mirror, we have to love him totally, die to ourselves, be a perfect image of him. And, you know, that's what we're trying to become, the little gods that he desires us to be. He gives us everything. We've inherited as his children, everything. And what a great grace, you know. He gives us all creation, all is ours. We create with him. He wants us to do everything. He wants to do everything in and through us, but he wants that invitation. We just have to invite him and to believe it, to know it, to want it. And it happens. God is so good. You know, he gives us the world. He gives us the whole universe. He told Louisa in one place, if he loves each one of us so much that if he would have had to make a whole world and universe for each person, he would have done it. But everything is for me. Everything is for you. It all belongs to us, you know. So the whole world is ours, you know, even though people may, you know, we can't just walk into somebody's house and take it. And, you know, we have a hard time even getting on trains and buses over here now, you know, because of the vaccine, you know. So there are certain things that man has put, has stifled for us, you know, but that freedom he wants us to have, to know that all creation is ours. And we continue to create with them. And all creation totally always gives glory to God. You know, we don't see it. We don't. If we could see the reality of the situation, how we would see if the veil was taken away, how all creation was honoring and glory and giving glory to God. And we would want to do the same with creation. So, you know, our Lord Louisa go around putting her I love you on everything, but he was actually putting his I love you for her on everything. She just had the desire and he did it for her. That's how it becomes a divine I love you. We can't put I love yous on things and it becomes divine. Only God with our desire will do it for us. We like little babies. a parent has to do everything for the little baby, but the baby may have a desire. The child may have a desire to please the parents. The child may have a desire to give the parent a gift, but the parent has to give the money to the child to go get the gift. So, you know, everything we have comes from God. We have nothing that we can call our own. We only give him back his gifts as he gives them to us.
Yeah, it's like the invisible factor, you know, Mother. You talk about having clear water. You know, the intermediate coming that St. Bernard and St. Cyril of Jerusalem, they speak about, and even St. Louis de Montfort, they talk about God preparing us. And really, it's the gift of the divine will between the first and second coming. It's invisible. Nobody can see it. And, you know, we can draw analogies, too. You can have a pool and you can have pristine water put in the pool. You can have the proper amount of chlorine. And you can still have foggy water because the pH is not balanced. Same thing with our body. We can have a we can have a great diet. We can eat healthy. We can exercise. But if our body's pH is out of sync, then we're not well. We're not feeling well, although the outside looks well. And I think the same with us. This divine will is what's going to purify us. It's what's going to make us healthy. And you talk about, you know, we can't be demonized. You know, just by ourselves, it has to be God doing it for us. It's I think Pope John Paul II, and he said in one of his papal bulls, he said, quote, "The church opens to all people the prospect of being divinized and thus of becoming more human," end quote. Because to be divinized is to be human the way God intended it to be, not human the way we are now, broken, fallen, blinded, and not being able to hear. Sister?
Oh, that was so beautiful, Peter. I'd never heard that quote before, that, you know, being divinized is makes us more human, because it's true. Our humanity is so important. But the humanity that God created us to be, actually, that was the part of when Mother was speaking that struck me, how, you know, God is trying to make us little gods. He's trying to divinize us. And it made me think of the Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I think that's kind of an invocation that we kind of speed over or look over. We're not really sure what that means, because it's like, okay, well, God's name is already holy. He's already holy. But I had heard, I think it was Scott Hahn that was talking about that, we're not asking for God's name to be holy in him. We're asking for God's name to be holy in us, because as his children, we have his name. You know, every father gives their children his name. So we want to make sure that we're living up to that name, that his name is sanctified in us. And what does that mean? That as his children, that we share in his nature. We're part, like, I think it was seen in the letter of Peter, that God became man so that we can become partakers in his nature. It's just, if we really just stop and chew on that and meditate on the great calling that we have, it's really incredible. And then for me too, what it all boils down to, living in the divine will, is learning how to live as children in the arms of our Father. That's all he's trying to get us to. And actually, I wanted to read a passage that I had read today that made me think of just that. It was from yesterday's date, February 2nd, 1917, volume 11. "As I was in my usual state, I found myself outside of myself, and I found my always lovable Jesus dripping blood all over with a horrible crown of thorns, looking at me with difficulty through the thorns. He told me, 'My daughter, the world has become unbalanced because it has lost the thought of my passion. In darkness, it has not found the light of my passion, which would illuminate it by making known to it my love and how much souls cost me, in such a way that it could turn to loving the one who has truly loved it. And the light of my passion guiding it would put it on its guard against all dangers. In weakness, it has not found the strength of my passion, which would sustain it. In impatience, it has not found the mirror of my patience, which would infuse in it calm and resignation in such a way that in the face of my patience, feeling ashamed, it would make its duty to dominate itself. In pains, it has not found the comfort of the pains of a God, which sustaining its pains, which would infuse in it love of suffering. In sin, it has not found my sanctity, which placing itself in front of it, would infuse in it hate of sin. Ah, man has made an abuse of everything because he has moved away from the one who could help him. This is why the world has lost balance. It behaved like a child who no longer wanted to recognize his mother or like a disciple who, denying his master, no longer wanted to listen to his teachings or learn his lessons. What will happen to this child and to this disciple? They will be the sorrow of themselves and the terror and sorrow of society. Such has become man, terror and sorrow, but a sorrow without pity. That line really struck me. Such has become man, terror and sorrow. And I feel like we feel that more than ever, is that, you know, so many people were living in fear, not even just external fears, but internal fears. There's so much depression, despair, just sorrow everywhere. And I think a lot of it is because we've forgotten what Jesus has done for us. We've forgotten that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The answer to all of our problems is Jesus Christ. And he's there for us. He showed us everything in the passion. There's nothing he could have done more for us. You know, the best of fathers on this earth doesn't even compare to what our Father in heaven has done for us. But we still struggle. Even those of us who are on the path of, on the journey of the divine will, a lot of times we forget that he's got to be our strength. He's got to be our all. And we just keep struggling through this life, doing it on our own. And I think for me, this was, you know, just a reminder, you don't have to do the heavy lifting. You have to respond. Yes. You have to do your little part. Yes. But I'm the one that's going to do it all for you. Come into my arms. I love you. And I think when the world starts looking towards the Lord as the solution to the problems and not everywhere else, I think that's when change is going to start to happen. And that's when God's name will be hallowed in us, when it will be sanctified, because that's when we're going to learn how to really be true children in his arms.
And that's right on point, sister. You know, you mentioned in that passage, balanced and unbalanced. And just like we were talking about in the beginning, you know, when the pH is unbalanced in the pool, it's cloudy. It's not attractive. When the pH is unbalanced in our body, we're not well. In essence, the divine will is the pH needed and necessary for each and every one of our souls. It's here for us. That's the amazing thing. But again, he's not going to force us. Like you said, we have an option. We can accept it or we can decline it. Sister?
Well, I was just thinking about a really short passage that I had found. It's from volume 6, January 14th, 1906. And I'm just going to go ahead and read the whole thing because it's just a short paragraph. And Louisa writes, "As I was in my usual state, Blessed Jesus came for just a little and told me, 'My daughter, I am not content with only glimmers of light come out of the soul. I want that her thought be light, light the word, light the desire, light the works, light the steps, and that these lights united together form a sun, so that in this sun my whole image may be formed. And this happens when she does everything, everything for me. Then does she become all light. And just as one who wants to enter into the solar light finds no obstacle to entering it, so do I find no obstacle in this sun, which the creature has made of her whole being. On the other hand, with one who is not all light, I find many hindrances to forming my image." And what struck me about this passage was I realize that it's a good example whenever, you know, we talk about that question. Well, what's the difference between like doing the divine will, being in the divine will, or someone not being in the divine will and someone who is in the divine will with their acts and people who don't do acts? And I was just thinking, it's this, Jesus really explains it in a very clear way for us humans to understand. And again, it's beautiful here that it's one of these passages that we talk about the sun, which is a lot used in the divine will writings, but also a great reference to, you know, to God and to Jesus. And one of the greatest things that God created for us is the sun. And I like the last part when he says, one who is not all light, I find many hindrances to forming my image. And again, that goes to the fact that it's necessary for us to really die to ourselves, to be like become nothing, because when we are that way, then God can really work in us, because there's nothing of ourselves, there's nothing of our sins and our weaknesses that like, don't let, you know, God finish his work in us, because it's true. We mentioned before that whenever we try to practice like virtue on our own, like we fall flat on our faces. You have to just, you just got to ask, let Jesus do it in you. Jesus is the one who can do it. So that's why I was here. Like, I find many hindrances to forming my image, because that's the thing. If there's still something of us, like me, myself and I, well, then God's like, well, there ain't no room here for me. I can't do much, or I can't do anything at all. But then it's also just beautiful how he says that he doesn't want just a little bit. I am not content with only glimmers of light. He says he wants her to be completely light, united together to form a sun. So God wants all. And it made me think of that Sister Claire from Ireland when she said all or nothing, like she got it. Like she wanted to do everything for Jesus, or like, you know, or nothing at all. So I think that that's the thing, like Jesus is encouraging us to not be afraid to completely give ourselves over to him, like completely die to ourselves, just give our fiat and just trust in him and just let him work in us.
Leap of faith. It's a leap of faith. Mother?
Yeah, I was just reading here in volume 20, the 3rd of February. It says, after, my daughter, each additional word about my will can be one more key in order to open the kingdom of the supreme fiat. Each knowledge about it can be a new door that forms to give more ease, more entrances to the children of its kingdom. Each simile about my will is one more path that forms in order to facilitate the communications of the kingdom. The most tiny thing that regards my fiat is a heartbeat of it, which it wants to form in the midst of the children of the kingdom. And to suffocate this heartbeat, my child, is not appropriate. This heartbeat will bring new life and divine life, bilocated from the heartbeat, to be enjoyed by those who will have the fortune to possess this will. He says that the kingdom of the divine fiat will have one single will as its center. The divine, therefore, one will be the will of all, which diffusing through all and embracing all will give happiness, order, harmony, strength, and beauty to all. So it will be the kingdom of one single will, one will for all and one for all. What renders the celestial fatherland happy, if not the will of God and the will of all? Oh, if another will different from that of God could enter heaven, which cannot be, the saints would lose their perennial peace and would feel the disorder of a will which is not divine, which does not contain all goods, and which is not holy and bearer of happiness and peace. Therefore, unanimously, they would all cast it out. So the kingdom of the fiat will have only one will, and my will alone, as law, as regime, as dominion. And by virtue of it, all will be happy, of one single happiness. There will never be disputes, but perennial peace. The reason why the Trinity is so happy within themselves is they have one will. His will is the greatest thing. His will, he said his will is greater than redemption, because his will willed redemption. His will willed creation. So his will is the greatest. His will is greater than his mercy, because his will willed his mercy. So there will be one will, and his will, if it couldn't reign in heaven, it wouldn't be heaven anymore. You know, so how great is the will of God? You know, we have to look at that, and our will and his will become one. In heaven, there will be only one will.
Yeah, I think, Mother, that that passage has defined an old cliche. I think that passage now, if we meditate, all for one and one for all. That's our God. You know, we talked about in the beginning, you know, grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually. And speaking about physically, you know, we can be awakened while we're in bed, but we have a choice. We can either get up out of bed or we can stay in bed. God is asking us to get up and get out, because he has a lot to show us. He's been wanting us to get out of that bed for 6,000 years. He's been disposing us with his mother for 6,000 years. It's time to lift a few veils. It's time to get to work. The work is small. As Sister Francesca said, God is doing the heavy lifting. But the beauty is we finally arrived. We're finally going back to the other side.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you once again, Larry, from Radio Maria. And that was Christina Lenway with the song Finally. And she's got another beautiful song, too, called Never Going Back to Yesterday. And that reminds me of something that Father John Olin Brown told us when he was here visiting us. I think it was 2015. And he said, today is crucified between two thieves. Yesterday and tomorrow. We can't be concerned too much about tomorrow. We're not sure if we're going to have a tomorrow. And we can't fret too much about what we did or didn't do yesterday. We have today. And that's God's most holy divine will, what we have, what's in front of us right now. So Christina Lenway, finally, you can find her on YouTube or on our website, queenofthedivinewill.org. And now we'll go back to Italy with the mother and the sisters. I think your microphone is muted, Mother.
Is it on now?
It's on now. Perfect. Okay. Yeah, you didn't sound so great before, but you sound great now.
Volume 20, February 3rd. It says, my daughter, look at the exuberant love of my will, always stable, always operating, always in the act of giving without ever drawing back from what it established to do when the supreme fiat echoed in the creation. My will took on the commitment to perform all arts, to carry out all offices, to execute all servitudes, to take on any shape in order to make man happy. That's all he desires. He just wants to make man happy. God is happy. He wants to share his happiness with us. He wants to share everything with us, but he longs for us to return to him in the way we were with him, or Adam and Eve were with him before the fall. He's just longing for that time, and he'll give us anything to get us there. It says further on, it says, my will pours itself out continuously. It gives its life in each created thing in order to give life. And they do not deign even to look at it, to see who is the one who loves them so much and is life of their life. Therefore, the sorrow of my will is great because of so many denials from the creatures. So with divine and invincible patience, it is waiting for its children who, by knowing it, may tear the veil from created things which hide it. It's just a thin veil. You know, people have had life after death experiences say that the other world is more real than this one. You know, they come back, everything seemed more real. We have reality all around us, but we can't see it. It's veiled by the physical world that we live in and see. But if we could see, like in Mass, you know, if you could see what's going on, especially during the consecration, angels everywhere, Our Lady there with the priest, you know, Our Lord coming in through the priest, we would see glorious things happening. We would pay much more attention to the Mass. But God wants us to live by faith. We have to know it. We have to know it's happening. And even though we don't see it happening, place our heart and souls in him, in the that moment in the Mass and in everything that's going on around us. If we could see our guardian angel, so a little saint, I forget the name of the book. This, she became a nun later on in life. I think she might be beatified, but she used to see her guardian angel, and her guardian angel would never let her do anything she shouldn't do. Her guardian angel didn't even want her to go to the beach. And she says, well, I'm not going to wear a bathing suit, but can I go with my, and this was way back, like in the 1800s or something, when the bathing suits were a lot more decent in those days. And, she said, I'll just go with my friends and sit on the beach. She said, I don't want you to even do that. You know, the guardian angel would not let her do anything that could contaminate her in any way. But she could see her guardian angel. We can't see our guardian angel, but we talk to him. He's there with us all day long, you know, and all night. And in eternity, we're going to see all the things that our guardian angel did for us throughout our lives to protect us from harm. We need to spend more time talking to him. And even though we don't see him, know that he's a reality. He's there with us, and pay attention to him. You know, he deserves that because he does so much for us. We should be more grateful to our guardian angels.
Yeah. You mentioned about the Mass, Mother. You know, we have to draw and grow a deeper appreciation for what we've been given. We have a page on our website, the explanation of the Mass, which is really great because it explains all the rubrics of it. But also another thing that really illuminated the Mass for me is from the City of God, Mary Agreda. I think it's in book 4 when she talks about the Mass. And it's incredible because we're finding out things again through the mystical explication. We're finding out things that we never knew that were always present. Like, for example, during the Mass, the first one to receive Holy Communion during the first Mass was our Blessed Mother, and communion was given to her by Angel Gabriel. I mean, these are things that will make you cry, and it's all there for us. And that's why we have to start, you know, limiting our wasteful time, you know, spent doing frivolous things and concentrate more on what is important. And I think we're recognizing what's important. And there's nothing more important than the Book of Heaven, which Jesus tells us. Mother?
I think we have to try to look at things with the eyes of faith, since we can't see, you know, and our Lord says, blessed are those who believe without seeing. To know that you know, other people have seen, we can look at their experiences, you know, and have that can help our faith. We know in Medjugorje people have seen Our Lady, you know, besides the visionaries here and there, and the pictures of other visionaries where somebody would take a picture and they see the image of Our Lady in the picture. We know that there's the reality is that they're there. Our Lady is with us. Our Lady's, we call on Our Lady, she's right there with us. We don't have to see her. The eyes of faith should tell us this is a reality. I've called on her. She's my mother. She's here with me. She's going to take you by the hand. She's going to help me live in the divine will. You'd have to trust in her for that. You know?
Amen.
Yeah. I was thinking today how easy it is to think of ourselves and how sometimes hard it is to think about these things. You know, I feel like with our fallen human nature, we're not paying attention to Mass because we're focused on ourselves. We're worrying, like you were saying, Peter, we're worrying about the past. We're worrying about the future. We're worrying about what we still have to do. We're worrying about our defects and our miseries, which we're constantly looking at ourselves. And I was thinking, you know I do that. I'm like, Lord, well, how do I stop? You know, we're so addicted to ourselves and attached to ourselves. And just a little thought came to me. It's meditate on me more. Like there's so much out there that you can think about in my life. We spend so much time thinking about our own little lives, but you know, we have the gospel that we can bring to prayer and chew on and meditate on. Like you said, we have the mystics, we have Mary of Agreda, we have Maria Valtorta that give us a glimpse into all these beautiful things in the life of Christ. We have our knowledge of our Catholic faith and the things we know about Our Lady. There's so much. And I think that's the only way to stop thinking about ourselves, is because you can't leave our minds empty. There's always going to be something in there. So if we're filling it with ourselves, then that's what it's filled with. But if we empty our minds of our thoughts of ourselves and fill it with thoughts of God and what we can chew on and what we do know and what we can meditate on, I think little by little, that's how we change. We were listening to a talk by a priest that was talking about scrupulosity and negative thinking, whether about others or ourselves. And he basically said, he says, we have to remember we're not that important, but he said that in a way, like we're not that important. Like the little things that we worry about are not going to make and break the salvation. It's not going to make and break God's will. He could bring a greater good out of everything. He's the one that's important. And he said, and the more we focus on him and look at him, that's when we're going to change, because we're looking at the image that we're supposed to become. Whereas if we're focused on ourselves and the negative things that we're seeing and the things that we're worrying about and the things that still have to change, all we're doing is continuing to look at ourselves and becoming more and more our own image than the image of God.
That's right.
Sorry, you want to say something, Peter?
No, I said, you know, in the hours of the Passion, our blessed Lord teaches Luisa and us a great lesson. I think it was one of the hours, and Luisa was so enamored. She was so moved by this hour. She wanted to sit there and stay there. And what did Jesus say? Come on, move. I've got much more to give you. Keep moving. And, you know, as much as we have been given with all the great things, the church, the sacraments, we cannot forget or lose focus on what the end game is. And Jesus tells us that. He tells us that in volume 14, September 11th, 1922. I know we've read this numerous times, almost to nauseam, but again, it hasn't sunk into me yet. Quote, therefore, there is nothing I, Jesus, did which did not have as primary purpose that man take possession of my divine will and I of his. This was my primary purpose in creation, the same in redemption. The sacraments that I instituted, the many graces given to my saints, have been the seeds, the means in which to let man reach this possession of my divine will. End quote. They're all there to help us get back to the order, the place, and the purpose for which we're created by God. And I think that's something I sometimes forget, because you get so enthralled in what we have, but that's what's coming to us if we stay vigilant, Mother, sisters.
I think we just have to get in the habit too, like your sister was saying, you know, of looking into ourselves, looking at him. We're not important, but God is important in us, and God is important in everyone else around us. If we're going to see him in others, we have to first see him in ourselves. If we're going to forgive others, first we have to forgive ourselves. But that's the God forgives us. we go to confession. We know we're forgiven. That's what this priest was talking about today. But we don't want to forgive ourselves. And God has forgiven us. And God's saying, forgive yourself. Have trust in my mercy. It's a slap in the face. It's like you're slapping him in the face, not trusting in his mercy and his love. And so we have to, ask for that grace to forgive yourself and get over with it, and look at him rather than at yourself.
Great advice.
Yeah. And going back earlier to what Sister Scholastica was saying about the difference between one who lives in the divine will and between one who is outside of the divine will. On February 22nd, 1930, I'm going to read this quick passage about Jesus kind of giving Luisa an analogy between one who lives in the divine will and one who lives outside of it. And it also reminds me of, and this quick passage, it also reminds me of the virtue of constancy. Like, how constant are we? Do we fluctuate? Do we go up and down some days, or are we just constant? And here's the quick passage. So, while I was thinking about the divine volition, my sweet Jesus, moving in my interior and making himself seen, told me, my daughter, if you knew what it means to give oneself prey to my divine will, the soul remains surrounded by her immutability, and everything becomes immutable for her, sanctity, light, grace, love. So she no longer feels the variability of the human ways, but the stability of the divine ways. Therefore, one who lives in my divine will can be called heavens that are always fixed and stable at their place of honor with all their stars. And if they revolve, since it is the whole of creation that revolves, they do not change place, nor do they mutate, but the heavens remain always immutable with all the stars. Such is the soul who lives in my divine will. She may go around to various actions, but since she goes around within the motive power of my divine fiat and in the wholeness of my will, she will always be heavens and immutable in her goods and in the prerogatives with which my supreme will has endowed her. And when I was reading this, I was really thinking about constancy a lot, because that's one of the signs that one is living in the divine will. And continuing on in this passage, on the other hand, one who lives outside of my divine fiat without its motive power can be called like those wandering stars that fall in the space as if there were no fixed place for them. And they are forced, like wandering stars, to run headlong as if they were lost away from the vault of the heavens. Such is the soul who does not do and does not live in my divine will. She mutates at each occasion. She feels within herself such variability of mutation that she feels boredom in repeating a continuous good. And if she makes any sparkling of light come out of herself, it is like the glittering of the wandering stars that soon disappears. It can be said that this is a sign to know whether one lives of divine will, immutability in good, and changing at every little blow if one lives of human will. And this also reminds me of the conversation we had earlier about how it reminds me about how if we don't have God's will in us, then we won't be happy and we won't be fixed. But if we have God's will in us, then that's where we'll find our happiness and our joy, because God wants us to be happy. And doing God's will, it's what will make us truly happy. And living in his divine will, then that'll help us to be more constant in the virtues. And the more constant we are in living in his most holy and divine will, as best as we can each and every day, just by doing acts and rounds in the divine will, and just putting our whole heart into it and just placing our I love yous and everything, then they'll make us happier and they'll help us to be more constant. And they'll help, and living in the divine will help us to be happy the way that God wants us to be happy.
Yeah. And you know what? Constancy and immutability, you know, it takes cooperation. It takes receiving and utilizing God's grace, and then also the exercise. And I'm not talking about the treadmill. I'm talking about the exercise when those obstacles or those situations come about that tests our virtues. That's the only way we can grow. So we have to be thankful for that gentleman or that woman who cut us off in the parking lot. Thank you, Lord, for showing me this. Allow me to have the discipline, not to get angry, not to scream, not to use any gestures. And this is the way we grow. So everything that happens to us in our days, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, is all working toward getting us to that, you're right, constancy and that immutability. And hi, Grace.
Hi, Peter. So I was reading volume 30. It's actually from Christmas Day, December 25th, 1931. And there's a small part in it talking about the role of love in living the divine will. And it says, Louisa writes, "And while my mind continued to think about what Jesus had told me, with a more intense and tender love, he added, 'My good daughter, our love runs continuously towards the creature. Our loving motion that never ceases runs in the beating of the heart, in the thoughts of the mind, in the breathing of the lungs, in the blood that circulates. It runs, always runs, and vivifies with our note and motion of love, the heartbeat, the thought, the breath, and it wants the encounter with the love palpitating, with the breath loving, with the thought that receives and gives us love. And while our love runs with unreachable rapidity, the love of the creature does not meet with ours. It remains behind and does not follow the race of our love that runs without ever stopping. And as we see that we are not even followed while we continue to go around in the heartbeat, in the breath, in the whole being of the creature, delirious, we exclaim, our love is not known, nor received, nor loved by the creature. And if she receives it, it is without knowing it. Oh, how hard it is to love and not to be loved. Yet if our love did not run, their lives would cease in one instant." I was just thinking, for every soul in the world, God's love is what gives them being, gives them existence, whether they know it or not. And us who know the Lord and know Louisa's writings, Jesus asks for us to give him love back in every aspect of our life, like every minute motion or breath, like as he's speaking about here, the breath, the heartbeats, the motion, everything it runs on his love, basically. And he's saying here that how sad it is for him that this love is not met with our love. It's just ignored or not known about or not cared about. And the sister was saying before, how we're so caught up in thinking about ourselves or forgetting God, like thinking about anything but God. I have thought in the past that being holy or loving God is a complicated process. Like you've got to, you know, learn all these prayers or do all these practices or kind of always have this, I don't know, it sounds complicated often. Holiness often sounds complicated, but in Louisa's writings, all God's asking for is love, and that doesn't have to be some complex process. Like his love is everywhere, and all we have to do is to meet it. And that can just be in, you know, a simple uplift of the heart while you're walking around, like saying, "I love you" in every breath and every heartbeat. Or, you know, it doesn't even have to be words. Sometimes it can be like, just, I think some of the saints have said, just a simple glance, a loving glance towards God interiorly. And in the end, all, like, that's all that makes sense. Love alone is all that makes sense. Like in the end, everything will pass but that. And there's a book by the Catholic philosopher Hans Urs von Balthasar, and one of his books is called Love Alone is Credible. And he's basically talks about how love is all that makes the world go around. Like,
and if love is running, how can we stand still? We're not going to be able to catch it. So yeah, it is all about love.
Yeah. Like his love runs towards us, and are we there to meet it and run towards it? Or are we turning our back and ignoring it? And all he wants is just a response of love. And it's not complicated. It's actually very simple.
It is. Like we've talked about before, we're the ones that complicate things most of the time. But yeah, we can't sit still if love is running, because we have to keep running with it. It's a journey where we can never stop until we reach that end, all purpose, and we know what it is now. Beautiful. Sisters, mother?
volume 25, I was just reading here. He says, "You must know that the angels, the saints, the sovereign queen are all one piece. Their beings are nothing other than one single act of divine will. Therefore, nothing but divine will appears in each of them. The thought, the gaze, the word, the work, the step, nothing appears but fiat, fiat. And this constitutes all the fullness of the happiness of all the saints." So the more we give our fiat in everything in our daily lives, the more our joy will increase. "Now, one who does and lives in my will on earth is similar to the inhabitants of heaven. That is, she is all one piece and forms one single piece with them in such a way that if the pilgrim soul thinks, the saints think together with her. If she loves, if she operates, they love and operate with her. There are such tight bonds between her and heaven that all together form one single act of my will, so much so that all the celestial inhabitants are on the lookout to see what the creature on earth does, so that nothing may escape them. Wherever my divine will reigns, it has its heaven and has the virtue of kidnapping heaven unto earth and the earth into heaven, and of forming one single thing. Therefore, courage, do not lose heart. Think that you are dealing with the divine will, and this should make you content." So, you know, when we're all of heaven, if you can look at all the saints up there with the eyes of faith, well, it tells us here that's what happens. They're all leaning over the walls of heaven, maybe to look to see who's doing an act in divine will. You know, because it's all one will. We're uniting ourselves with them. The more, you know, we try to strive to live in his divine will. And it all becomes, it has to be habitual. We have to work on our habits. You know, we were talking earlier, we were talking to Sister Francesca about this priest that we heard today. It was a lovely, lovely talk on, you know, not to look at yourself, to forgive yourself. You know, God forgives you, forgive yourself. But you need to get in the habit of doing that, because we can reflect on ourselves so much and not think of him, but we can get in the habit of thinking of him, and we need to find him within ourselves. I keep saying that, but you know, it's so important. If we're going to love others, we have to love him in others. And first we have to love him within ourselves, but you have to get in the habit of doing that. And it takes bringing it to your mind over and over again. It's just like exercise. You get in the habit of doing exercise every day. It's easier to do after a while, but you got to formulate that habit. You formulate good habits. You got to formulate the good habit of looking for him, looking for him, looking at him within yourself, talking to him within yourself, having a conversation, having that relationship with him so that you can see him everywhere. And then your joy will increase, and you will be that living that total life of fiat, fiat, fiat. And that's what he longs for us to do.
Yeah, the fiat is there's a lot of actions behind the word fiat. It's not just the word, but thank you for that, Mother. We've got about let's say a minute and a half. Any closing thoughts, Mother, sisters?
Yeah, I was just thinking quickly as Mother spoke, you know, we have to look at Jesus in us. And I was just reminded of a little kid who just wants to imitate his dad, wants to do everything. I forgot who I was talking to today. I think it was, we have a guest with us named Dora. She's discerning our life. And I think we were talking about when we were little, how we wanted to drink coffee because we wanted to be like the grownups. We wanted to be like our parents. So our mothers would give us a little coffee and then some milk in it. And I remember just other little things that I used to want to do just to be like my dad, because I was just so proud and I would want to imitate him. And I think that's how we have to look at, you know, our growth in the divine will, and even our growth in virtue. It's just like looking at our dad and like, you know, dad, I want to be like you. And looking at him inside of us doing all these things. I don't know how to land the plane, but that was just kind of what was in my head.
No, nothing's changed. We still want to be like our father in heaven.
We have a new aspirant here from Croatia, Dora. Would you like to say hello to everybody?
Hi, Dora.
Hi, hello. My name is Dora. I come from Croatia. And I will just say a little thing that it reminded me when Sister Grace was telling about, you know, constancy and immutability and being fixed. It reminded me about when Jesus was telling to Louisa about the celestial Jerusalem. I don't know in which volume it is, but how, like in the New Jerusalem, every stone will be round or at least squared. Like, and he was explaining to her how in suffering and in joys, one should be like the same, no, like round. Like the saints in the New Jerusalem, they will be like this. And it just struck me that, you know, image. Like it's a nice kind of picture to imagine. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Well, no, thank you for that and welcome. And we're happy to have you. We've got a priest and a few seminarians that join us also from Croatia. So perhaps they know you. Well, they may know you now as they hear your voice. Again, you're listening to the School of Mary on Radio Maria, a Christian voice in our home. We're just honored and privileged and thankful and humbled to be able to bring this broadcast to you. We thank you. We thank God Almighty for everything. Thanks be to God for everything he does in each and every one of us, good, better, and different, because it all is going to work out for the good. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And we love you, Blessed Mother. Bye, everyone. See everyone next Thursday, God willing. Love you.